May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in middle school, cotton jeans that would fade were in style. My jeans were practical and could go many washings without losing any color. Finally, I got some Levi's that would fade. I took them with me to Montreat, where we slid down Lookout Mountain after an afternoon rain. After washing, they faded. And I even had a rip or two that I could cover with patches. I remember one of the patches said, "Keep on trucking." Finally, I felt like I fit in, and no one was whispering about my practical jeans. Peer pressure is insidious. A little voice in the back of our head says, "What will people think?" It doesn't matter that no one actually voices those concerns. No one ever said anything to me about my jeans. Nevertheless, I was imagining what people were thinking. People are still people. Even in Jesus' time, there were expectations. Jesus had become a popular speaker and was making the synagogue circuit. He spoke in synagogues across the region known as Galilee, including the nearby large town of Capernaum, and finally had come back home to Nazareth. Jesus was invited to speak to his home congregation. Everyone knew Jesus as the kid who grew up in the carpenter shop. They were curious to see how Joseph's kid had become so popular in places like Capernaum. After all, they all knew that no one important had ever come out of Nazareth. Jesus felt the weight of those expectations and knew that as far back as the prophets Elijah and Elisha, hometown prophets never got the same respect they did on the road. That is because prophets are often called upon to say things people do not want to hear. Prophets do not generally affirm the status quo. Prophets do not generally encourage people to continue to do what they're doing. No, carry on, all is well. Prophets have a way of stepping on toes. Last week, we talked about how Jesus read a scripture from Isaiah and how Jesus interprets scripture and is our standard of interpretation. Today, the people are less interested in Jesus' interpretation as they are by Jesus working miracles. They have heard of the wonderful healing Jesus has done, and they want to see it for themselves. They are not interested for the right reasons. They want a magic show. At this point, Jesus says some things that make them angry, though it's not totally clear what is going on. Jesus quotes a saying that was well known, "Doctor, heal thyself." But it's out of context and does not seem to apply to the situation. Other than perhaps their request that he work a miracle, and there's no one identified as being ill. So maybe he's being sarcastic. Heal myself? Jesus then points out that hometown audiences do not understand and are often hostile to a prophet they know. Combined with this, he mentions two situations of prophets in the Old Testament. Prophets who heal or work signs for Gentiles, but not for Jews. For a group that is hostile to Gentiles, these are fighting words. Last week, we talked about Jesus interpreting Scripture with an eye toward love. Now we see Jesus seeming to purposefully provoke his hometown to anger. What's up with that? Well, sometimes anger is a good thing. Anger is a natural emotion that can be used for good or bad purposes. John Pavlovitz, in a lecture I heard last week as part of the Thomas White Curry lecture series at Midwinter's Conference at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, pointed out that Jesus was both compassionate as a caregiver to harassed and helpless sheep on a personal level, and a fierce public adversary to the wolves preying upon the sheep. He stated that we are all too quick to justify our personal anger as righteous indignation, like Jesus showed when he cleansed the temple of the moneylenders, without looking at our motives. Jesus did not show anger at personal criticism. He showed anger when those in power took advantage of those who were weak and vulnerable. Pavlovitz quoted Augustine of Hippo, who said that hope has two daughters, anger at the way things are, and courage to see that things do not remain as they are. The anger that the Nazareth synagogue crowd showed was not righteous. They apparently felt they had been insulted by Jesus' words, pointing to the works of prophets among Gentiles rather than hometown Jews. The personal insult was not justification for anger. Pavlovitz quotes Aristotle saying this, quote, "Anybody can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, and for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power and is not easy." End quote. Therefore, the object, level, timing, purpose, and manner of anger are what matter. Obviously, applying this test to the crowd in the synagogue at Nazareth shows their anger was misplaced. So, what message should the congregation have heard? What was their proper response? Jesus had told them that Isaiah's prophecy had been fulfilled in their hearing. The prophecy spoke of the year of Jubilee, a time when debts were canceled and joy abounded. The response should have been joy, not a request for a magic show. Furthermore, they should have been chastened by Jesus' words about how God cared for Gentiles. They, like us, have a tendency to focus on what God can do for us within our comfortable borders. God did not create borders. God created children in God's own image. When God's children hurt anywhere, anytime, God cares. This is illustrated by Jesus mentioning the widow at Zarephath and the healing of Naaman the Syrian. Those miracles addressed real needs of real people, regardless of their nationality. Those miracles were not for the purpose of working magic tricks. So what would Jesus say to us? Are we showing the compassion of Jesus? Are we showing the compassion Jesus would show to those in need? even if those persons are not one of us? Are we showing anger at the right time and place, particularly when systems are taking advantage of the weak and the downtrodden? Do we change for the better, or do we try to kill Jesus, who offends us like a prophet in his hometown? Amen.